Hello and welcome to the Saxo market call on Monday, 24th of January, 2022. And we're starting a new week after a terrible, terrible ending on Friday. But before we get to that, we just need here on slide two and the today's slide deck to point your attention towards our quarterly outlook, which will be out tomorrow. I've highlighted some bullet points here on some of the topics that we're talking about in this outlook. And the overall theme, of course, is the energy crisis, which, given how important energy is for a modern society, is pretty crucial to a lot of things, not only inflation, but also, you know, general purchasing power, rising input costs for various industries. And it affects a lot of things, all the way from bonds to equities and commodities, of course. And we also have a little bit on crypto, because some parts of the crypto market is very, very energy intensive. But with that out of the way, let's move back to market. So as I said, it was a very ugly Friday. You can see here on slide three. I should have put in the 200-day moving average, but we pushed below that, and we highlighted that as a key market risk last week in several of our podcasts. We, as you can see as well on the slide, we are attempting a rebound today in U.S. technology stocks. So the Nasdaq 100 futures, we're up 0.8% as we speak right now. I've put in on the right-hand side of the slide deck, I've put in this this spread between the second contract on the VIX curve. So not the first contract, but the second one. And I'm measuring the spread in percentages to the spot index, which is the VIX. And as you can see here, we have an inverted volatility curve. It's negative, and we are exactly where the orange line is. So as you can see here, that's the reason why I'm saying we haven't seen full capitulation. There was a lot of talk on Twitter on Friday that this smelled of a capitulation, because value stocks were down as well as growth stocks. A lot of things were just selling off. You also had and bonds were bought, so even interest rates were down across the board. Crypto was collapsing over the weekend as well. But if you look at the forward curve on the VIX, you can see that we are more or less in line with sort of I would say normal corrections. So we are on par with what we had in February, March last year, when we had the first interest rate sensitivity reaction, where the Nasdaq I think was down 15%. So we're more or less around that area. We are slightly less inverted than when we had the knock-on effects just before the vaccine effects. But as you can see, to get a full capitulation, we could go down a lot from current levels. So it's not totally panic selling yet. And I will still argue that if you look at the MSCI world, it's still holding up pretty well. And so the current move is still very much smells of growth and technology stocks. And I keep on talking, maybe it's because I was not on Friday, because I also have Ole on the show. And Ole,
it's all good news. It's all good info, Peter. And I think I should just on the Nasdaq, just to finish that one off as well. If you look at the Nasdaq futures, you've shown that we for now has basically halted after hitting that September low at 14,365, and you mentioned the 200-day moving average that is currently at 15,000. So we are roughly 3% below that that area of relative safety. So this is really the 15,000 to the upside, and the September, or actually it's early October low. As I mentioned, these are the two outer boundaries right now, which undoubtedly will determine whether it's going to be an up or down week we're facing here. Where we got the FOMC on tap, which will, I suppose, would be the main. It will be the main focus this week. We've seen some of the nervousness in the stock market spread also to the currency market, especially dollar yen. We're going to have John Hardy back on Wednesday. He'll give you a fuller rundown on what's going on in the FX space. But just keep an eye on dollar yen here, because yen has strengthened during the past couple of weeks. We're looking at that 113.50 level to the downside. We are currently trading around 113.60. So getting pretty close. If you take that out, then 112.50 could be the next one. So very much reacting to the risk adversity and also the slight easing of the bond yield surge that we saw at the early parts of last week. But the Omicron is still being felt across the world, Peter. And you got a comment on that?
Yeah, exactly. On slide 5, we have got a lot of PMI figures coming out, preliminary figures for January, so they're always important. And we had Japan overnight, and there, as you can see here, their services PMI dropped to 46.6. That was as a pretty significant drop from 52.1 in the previous quarter. So there you can see the impact from Omicron. It's the same we're seeing in France, although that services number that is coming in this morning at 53.1 is still in you know, above 50, so in positive territory, but coming down 4 percentage points in just 1 month. Whereas in Germany, it's actually the opposite. So we're actually seeing we're seeing a 3.5 point increase in the Germany services PMI for January, which is a little bit odd given that they have a pretty significant Omicron wave there in Germany. So interesting to see. But the big headline, I think, this morning is that the US is now recommending all, you know, U.S. families and diplomats, etc., to leave Ukraine, as you know, the whole tensions between Ukraine and Russia continues to rise. And I think the U.S. has, with you know, this statement has given up that this could end only on peaceful terms. So I think that, let's see what this happens. But it's very important for your area, Ole. So let's jump right to the gas market, because Russia is a very big exporter of natural gas and other resources to the European economy. So obviously, any possibility of a war between Ukraine and Russia is important for Europe's energy supplies, I guess.
It is indeed, Peter, and also just the whole question about energy security. We're seeing gas prices trading higher this morning. We're also seeing oil prices recovering after that mini correction last week. Gas is the one that could potentially be most impacted. So, as you can see on slide 9, the market's trading higher this morning, but obviously nowhere near any kind of spiking territory that's which we witnessed back in December. But we are trading up back above 80 euros, nevertheless, around 6% high on the day. We've been going up now for the past 3 days. And it's happening at a time where the fundamentals otherwise point to lower price action, because we got a mild winter right now. It's 8 degrees in Copenhagen this morning. I think it's relatively mild across northern Europe this time. So that's reducing the demand. Also, we've got strong LNG arrivals, as you can see in the inserts there on the right hand side on slide 9. But against that, the risk of a disruption, as you mentioned, Ukraine is a very key pipeline country for Russian gas into Europe, and that is obviously what's keeping the market support right now. So that cold front on the Russia-Ukraine border is really one that we need to keep a close eye on this week, because there is obviously a risk of a spike in the market if we see any further escalation on that front. How that will impact the dollar if it happens remains to be seen, but we have at least this month seen dollar bulls starting to get nervous. I mentioned the dollar yen earlier, but if you look at slide 6 in today's deck, you can this basically is showing the weekly report I do on speculative positioning in the futures market. And last week we had quite a significant 30% drop in the net dollar long against 10 IMM currency futures and also the dollar index. And one of the we haven't seen a drop this size for quite a while, and it does highlight the market is starting to get somewhat nervous about their recently or long held view that the dollar could move higher. So most certainly a sector that is starting to gear up potentially for some additional action here.
Excellent. But Ole, there's a lot of things to talk about in commodities. So one of the things with all the move we have seen in interest rates, of course, is gold. So it's I find it quite interesting that, you know, we with crypto, it was called the, you know, digital gold and a good hedge against inflation. And cryptocurrencies have turned out to be anything but that. I would actually say that one of the few assets in that category that actually have kept its value is actually gold. And potentially surprisingly enough, given that real yields are actually rising, still negative though, but rising. So, Ole, what's your view on gold in this light?
Well, I think this has been a major story in the gold market this month because it's so far at least put to shame many outlooks for 2022, where the expectation for higher real yields would send the gold potentially sharply lower. The exact opposite has happened. We are trading up on the year, and adding to this, last week, especially on Friday, we saw a major jump in ETF holdings. We haven't really seen that for quite a while. It was the world's biggest ETF with gold investments, the GLD in the US. It saw its biggest jump since it was started in 2006, I believe. And overall, the total holdings, as I put in the insert there, the circled area, jumped by the most in 18 months. So it does indicate that there are some big fish out there starting to return to gold, and not only do we have geopolitical risks right now, we have a Fed which is likely on Wednesday to signal the beginning of rate hikes, possibly already from March, and with the markets at the same time also seeing signs of risk to the economic growth, there is potentially risk that we could see a policy mistake sometime down the line from the Fed, that basically over tightening the market at a time of a slowdown. And with inflation right now becoming from input prices through commodities, which is not going to come down anytime soon, with rising wage costs, there is just some hesitancy really to accept how what the market is pricing, where the market is pricing in long-term inflation expectations right now. So all in all, gold is holding above 1830. That's a long spiel for this, but we need to keep an eye on 1850 to the upside. After that, it is the higher from last year that comes into play. But I mentioned commodities and the tightness and the reason why we don't see any major correction there anytime soon. Just looking at a basket of 23 major commodities, if you take the spot price versus the price 12 months out and take the percentage spread between those two, then right now we have the highest positive carry since at least, well, since, as you can see on the insert here on slide 8, since 2004. This highlights this very extreme backwardation that has started to creep into several commodities. Backwardation basically occurs when the spot price trades higher than the further than futures months further out, and that is a signal of the market where there's tight supply and buyers are scrambling to get hold of commodities. And with that in mind, there is still a bullish outlook for commodities. Also, something that we will talk about in our outlook, which is out tomorrow, Peter.
Excellent. In terms of stocks to watch today, it's a Monday, so it's always quiet. But I've mentioned a couple of stocks that are worth highlighting, and one of them is obviously Unilever, very big consumer staples company here in Europe. As you can see on slide 10, a 5-year price chart here shows you that this company hadn't gone anywhere in 5 years, but the shares are up 6% this morning on news that the famous activist investor Nelson Peltz has built a stake in the company. I don't know what he wants to do at Unilever, potentially breaking up the business maybe, because Unilever is a very low growth company, and it's facing rising input costs, and it's the shareholder value. What we call operating valuation drivers are, you know, revenue growth, operating margins, your investments needs to drive revenue, and then your discount rate and the discount rate of future cash flows. And that one is going up. You have pressure on the operating margins from rising input cost, and the investment needs are probably not going down either. So that leaves pretty much Unilever back to the revenue growth, which it has been difficult for the company to drive in recent years. So I don't see a lot of strategic flexibility around Unilever. I think it's very much a company stuck in the mud in order able to drive shareholder value. But maybe Nelson has a plan. Let's see. Then I've highlighted Siemens Gamesa, which got really clubbed last week on their profit warning. And Renault, both companies are up this morning and have been upgraded by sell-side analysts. And I do think, I mean, Siemens Gamesa and Vestas, I wrote that I wrote about those two companies in my equity update on Friday. I think the long-term outlook for these wind turbine makers obviously it hasn't changed. It's the short-term impact on the business that have changed. And I think those type of situations are always very interesting for the people that are willing to take a very long-term outlook of view on things. It creates some opportunities. And then I've mentioned De La Rue, which is a passport and banknote printer in the UK. Maybe not the sexiest stock in the world, but it's down 26% today on a profit warning. So obviously there is a little bit of energy in that stock. But that takes us to slide 11, which is the earnings calendar for this week. Today I haven't highlighted it in red because we already got Schlumberger on Friday, so Halliburton is not bringing anything new to the oil services industry. We have Philips here in Europe, but they already pre-released some of their numbers, so they won't shock the market either. And then we have IBM reporting. And talking about IBM, actually, a new story there. They basically shredding their Watson business. So it ends a very long journey for IBM, where they thought they had at one point the AI leadership with their Watson engine that famously won the Jeopardy and chess against humans. But then they since lost that leadership to several companies like Google with their DeepMind and Facebook, etc. So it ends a very very long downhill paddle for IBM. But rest of the calendar, Tuesday, I've highlighted a lot of red things. I will only mention three companies because they are the three most important ones. But then you can still get the rest out of the others. We'll take them day by day. But tomorrow we have Microsoft, obviously being one of the biggest companies in the world, the second or biggest, is very important. And then on Wednesday we have Tesla, which is driving the whole sentiment around the car industry and electrical vehicles. Very important as well, also for the growth cluster around ARK Innovation ETF and the rest of the growth speculative growth segment, which is have overlaps with all the bubble stocks in our baskets and the crypto. And then on Thursday we have Apple, the biggest company in the world on market value, will be reporting. We also have LVMH, which is one of the biggest stocks here in Europe. So it's a very important week for the earnings season, and the earnings season so far hasn't proved to be any positive catalyst for equities. So let's see whether that can change this week. And with that, let's go to the macro calendar, and you can take it away, Ole.
Thank you, Peter. Again, we'll be focusing on these PMIs, as you mentioned, Peter. That's probably the main takeaway from today. And as we talked about, FOMC rate decision on Wednesday, that is really the main event in the on the economic calendar this week. So we'll obviously gear up towards that in tomorrow and Wednesday's podcast. But nice to have you back, Peter, from underneath the COVID cloud. So we will slowly get our full
Thank you.
strength back. That'll be on Wednesday when we have John back as well. So thank you very much for listening, and again, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call, or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.